that's good, nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics,
courtesans and eunuchs,
heroes and chases,
atoms and bases,
anglers
and letterers,
cupidity,
timidity,
mistakes,
fakes,
rhymes,
tumblers, grumblers, fumblers, bumblers, no royal purse.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, November 25th. Almost said August for some reason. I'm traveling through time, apparently. It's November 25th, and you're listening to Backstage here on FM 97.3 WZBG. I'm Eric, your host, and it's a very exciting Saturday morning. I'm here to talk about Nuncrackers, which is opening at the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. It's going to be running December 2nd through December 17th. And I have guests here with me from the production. And as if that weren't enough, I mentioned on my Facebook page last night that it's sort of a delayed Black Friday special. I've got a pair of tickets that I'm going to be giving away to a lucky caller later on during the broadcast. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But you want to stay tuned anyway because it's going to be an exciting show. I'm joined by two representatives from the production, music director TJ Thompson, and one of the cast members, Stephanie Veronelli Miles. So good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here. TJ, I believe it's your first time on Backstage ever.
That's correct.
So welcome. Great to have you here. You and I have worked together a few times on some projects here and there. And then, Stephanie, this is your first time here with me. I know you were on with my predecessor, Johnny O, a few times. But welcome. We haven't worked together yet.
I don't think so.
But I've seen you in a few things. Most recently, I saw you in Drowsy Chaperone over in Goshen.
That's correct.
And I know you choreographed a lot of Kinky Boots over at the Thomaston Opera House.
I did,
which
yes.
is going back like about 2 years now, give or take.
Yeah, it was supposed to be COVID year. Obviously, we didn't do it then, and we did it the following year.
And fabulous production. Loved it. I knew several of the people in that cast, and many of the movers but not dancers, and you made them all look fabulous. So
I tried my best. I thought it was a good turnout.
Absolutely. And we're here today to talk about Nuncrackers, which is opening next weekend, December 2nd, and running all the way through, what did I just say?
The 17th.
Over at the Thomaston Opera House there, which is such a beautiful space. Very sort of classic vibe to it. Lovely two-tiered auditorium, and the stage is a little raked, isn't it?
Right.
It still is, yeah.
So great shows that happen over there. And now we're having Nuncrackers, which is out of that sort of nonsense catalog of shows. But for the benefit of our listeners, would either one of you like to give them a brief synopsis of what Nuncrackers is all about?
Well, TJ, why don't you take this one, because you've been in the nonsense world a little longer than I have.
Well, let's see. It's about Sister Amnesia winning the lottery and thereby buying a television studio. So they're doing a fundraiser for, I can't remember what it, see, that this is a reason to see the show. It's they're doing a fundraiser to a televised fundraiser, and so you sort of have a variety show of nuns doing various bits.
I feel like they're always doing a benefit of some sort.
Yeah, it's always a benefit
to raise
something.
Money for something.
Yeah. They're always raising money for something after someone's won the lottery or the sweepstakes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's about it. Somewhere along those lines, you know, everything goes perfectly. No, nothing goes right.
Right.
And that's kind of how it unfolds.
And it's a lot of those characters travel through all the different nun shows. Like you mentioned, right. Sister Amnesia.
Yes.
Who, if memory serves, she suffered a head injury and has more or less complete amnesia, and the convent just kind of took her in.
A crucifix falls on her head.
Oh, yes. There you go.
In an earlier nonsense, not
correct. Correct, right. Yep.
And she was renamed to Sister Amnesia because she doesn't remember what her original name was.
Well, they also call her Sister Mary Paul.
Yes.
Oh.
So I don't know if Reverend Mother renamed her that instead of calling her Sister Amnesia. So I think they thought of a nicer name to call her.
And there's the Reverend Mother, the sort of stern, matronly...
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The straight character in the madness that is the nonsense world. Yes. And they work with a school, don't they? Or a little Catholic academy of some
Mount
kind?
Mount St. Helens School.
In Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, yes, Hoboken, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so, Stephanie, we were talking before the show. You've actually got a good size, I mean, 8 kids chorus representing the students of Mount St. Helens.
Yes, exactly. So they come in, they introduce themselves, they say who their teacher is. I don't know if they don't mention their talent, but the premise is that they won a contest of some sort, and they introduce themselves, and they do make appearances throughout the whole entire show.
Oh.
They've been doing a great job. There's 8 of them. So, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Ranging, I think, our youngest is 4, and our oldest is 14, 15. Ooh. So, yeah, nice age range there.
TJ, as music director, is it sort of like herding cats with the 8 young people like that?
No comments. It depends. You know, everybody has their good days and their bad days.
I'm thinking of a couple of projects we've done where it was probably like herding cats.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You know.
I have a lot of cats, so
perfect.
I have perfect practice.
Well, that's very exciting. It's Nuncrackers opening at the Thomason Opera House on December 2nd, running through December 17th. Thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater, who are also the fine folks that have donated the tickets that I'm giving away later on today after What's the Buzz. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, we're going to play a little music from Nuncrackers. There's a cast album, the world premiere cast album, as I found it was called. And so just to put us in the spirit and get us ready, I thought, why not? So here from the world premiere cast album of Nuncrackers, this is called Christmas Time is Nonsense Time.
Christmas time is nonsense time at Mount St. Helens School. Christmas time is fun sense time when joy is the rule. It's time when colored lights appear, a time of merriment and cheer.
A time when Robert Ann sneaks off to Clancy's for a beer.
What? Root beer! Reverend Mother, root beer!
Right, and I'm Santa Claus.
You are not!
Feel the spirit, heed the call, forget your troubles, have a ball. Nonsense is for one and all. When you trim a Christmas tree, you have a single star.
You place it on the top, so it shines out near and far.
Reverend Mother, you're the tops.
But we've got stars galore.
And to make your Christmas merry, we've got Marys by the score.
Sister Mary Hubert.
Sister Mary Paul.
Sister Mary Robin Ann.
Sister Mary Leo. Sister Mary Leo's brother, Father Virgil.
Sister Mary Regina, your mother superior.
Christmas time is nonsense time at Mount St. Helens School. Christmas time is fun sense time when joy is the rule.
Though you may call this time Hanukkah,
or Kwanzaa,
or the Yule,
we invite you all to join the fun at Mount St. Helens. Wondering what will Santa bring. Feel the spirit, heed the call, forget your troubles, have a ball. Nonsense is for one and all.
That was Christmas Time is Nonsense Time here on Backstage on WZBG. I'm joined from the production of Nuncrackers, music director TJ Thompson, and cast member Stephanie Varinelli-Miles from the Landmark Community Theater production of Nuncrackers, opening on Saturday, December 2nd. Running Saturday, December 2nd? No.
Yes.
Yes. Saturday, December 2nd, running through December 17th. Now, we talked a little bit about the synopsis and mentioned a couple of the recurring characters. Stephanie, who are you playing in this production?
I am playing Sister Robert Ann from Brooklyn, New York.
Uh-oh.
Yes. She's, you know, the more of the tougher nun out of the group.
Well, to be fair, I've known quite a few nuns in my time, and I haven't met one yet that wasn't already tough.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
But yeah, I can imagine coming from Brooklyn, New York, that it's a different kind of toughness. And so she's from Brooklyn. She's the tough one. Every character has something driving them. What's driving Sister Robert Ann?
She apparently her father left briefly.
Oh.
And so I think that might have softened her up a little bit. And so when she found Reverend Mother and when she found some peace within the convent, I think that's when she kind of had some direction.
Gotcha. And now here she is helping all the nuns with
Here she is, yes. She has a mind of her own for sure.
I find that in the nun sense kind of shows, Nuncrackers, they always do.
Yeah, I think each one of them have their own little agenda and path.
The horses aren't always pulling in the same direction.
Yes. Sometimes we have to try to find them as well. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Well, with Sister Amnesia wandering around, who knows where she left anything. So.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, and TJ, I think you brought a cast list, right, with you so that we can mention, because this isn't a huge spectacle cast kind of a show.
No, it's really not.
So who else do we have, and who are they playing?
Well, let's see. This is the first time I've worked with Isabella Carvalho as Sister Mary Celeste. Mm-hmm. Chanel Dupre is playing Sister Mary Wilhelm. Michelle Ivis is Sister Mary Luke. Brianna Lopez is Sister Amnesia, Sister Mary Paul. The Reverend Mother, also a new one for, I think, Landmark altogether, is Elise Jasenki.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mary Hubert is Patty Rice, who's been stage director for many a production.
Oh, yes.
I remember Spamalot at Thomas de Opera House. Brother Brenda Joseph is Adam Ziab. Steve Serrero's back as Father Virgil.
Steve!
Good old Steve.
Good old Steve. Chuck Stango is Sister Julia Child of God.
Ooh, the Honorable Chuck Stango. Wow.
Yes. Thank you. It's nice to see some new faces.
Yeah. You know, this will be the first time he's done Sister Julia. With me.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Stephanie here is Sister Robert Ann. We have Brother Theo is Theo Barkley. Nicole McWilliams, also new for me, stage manager, nun. And then the students, who are Reagan Allen, Juliana Bartlett, Gabrielle Carvalho, Xander, oh my gosh, Desiree, Andrew Ifas, Ava Orsini, Mia Orsini, and Eve Rishnovsky.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
The next generation.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
We haven't had any stage combat yet. But there's still time. I mean, Tech Week starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
you've got 7 days to, if God can create the universe in 7 days, you can add a little stage combat to Nuncrackers. Well, that's I mean, like you said, a lot of new faces to Thomaston, but a lot of names that I do recognize from other venues in the area, and some returning faces as well, like Stephanie here, who you pick and choose your spots, I think.
I think as we get older, we have to, you know, not everything is right for us. We need to recognize, you know, what's good and what's not so good.
So you're saying I probably shouldn't audition for Oliver then?
You do you.
Might be.
I've never seen an Oliver with a beard before. But that's, you know, that is, and I say it all the time, that's the joy of community theater, right? These new groups coming together, creating something completely, even if you've done the show, TJ, you've said you've done none shows for...
I've off and on now for quite a few years.
But each one ends up different because
Yes.
I'm impressed that the couple that I've seen have always been a very small group of nuns, and this isn't exactly overpowering, but it's far more nuns than I'm usually used to seeing.
That's There's true. Always the basic five, I think.
Mm. Right.
With Father Virgil, played by Steve. But it's based on that, you know, those definite five nuns. They've been the same throughout all of the nonsenses, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right.
Which is great. If you've seen other nonsense shows, you get that continuity. You get that familiarity with the characters. Even though the interpretation's always slightly different, it's a nice little touchstone. And I'm assuming that it's a holiday-themed kind of pageant that they're doing on their little cable access whatnot. So would you say it's a great opportunity to get out with the family and enjoy some holiday spirit?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. It's probably about just about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah. But jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
I feel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone I tell who I'm doing, I'm doing Nutcrackers. Oh, you're doing the Nutcracker? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Although, ironically, it does make mention of the Nutcracker in the show. But yes, no, not Nutcrackers.
Non-crackers.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so it mentions Nutcracker. Does it mention any other kind of holiday things that we would expect to hear about at the time, or just holiday references?
There's mostly holiday references. Yeah. There's the Christmas sing-along, which is original music using titles from other famous Christmas tunes.
But not your normal Christmas carol.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think it would be, but it's not. It's a whole new selection of
interesting
music.
Interesting.
It just keeps you on your toes. You think you know what's going to happen, and then something else happens.
Now, when you say sing-along, does that mean audience participation? Do they get
We're hoping for that.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm told there's going to be a monitor that, shows the words.
Yes.
And people can
like
jump
a bouncing
in.
Ball, right? No,
yeah.
I'm only kidding. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
See, I know that. I remember that. You know, our younger listeners maybe not so much.
Yeah,
but,
probably not.
These days it's just the word highlights as it goes, which is fine, whatever. I like the bouncing ball.
I like
ball.
The ball.
Yeah, I like the ball as well.
A little more visual.
Yeah.
Well, that's fabulous. And then as far as, because it's a musical, how big of a orchestra do you have?
Oh, right, my pit. Well, let's see. It's interesting because it's composed for two keyboards, a violin, and a percussionist.
Okay.
So anywhere for up to, 25 fingers worth of notes. So it's interesting when you're playing the score and you're trying to figure out what you actually have to play to get through the numbers when you're rehearsing it. But it's me on keyboard one, Cleo Janis, who I've worked with in several pits. This is our first time back together since pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing synthesizer two. My good friend James Allen's going to do percussion, and then two of my students are splitting the violin chair.
Oh, wow.
Vincent, that's great. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Vincent
that's
Chen, awesome. Who's a senior, and Eden Thompson, who's a sophomore.
Hmm. Yeah, for those not in the know, TJ is a very accomplished music teacher, and you also have your jazz trio.
Right. So because when we did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown Christmas, that was the TJ Thompson trio that played that. But we've been slowly kind of getting back into playing shows, getting students in the pit. To experience that, because it is such a exciting thing when all there's so many elements that come together, and you don't really get that in all sorts of theater, but like musical theater in particular, it can be really powerful.
That'll be a great experience for them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, they're thrilled. Eden played in Cabaret at the school last year, and Chicago at Foreman School with me last year, and Vincent played in Matilda. He learned the guitar and played the Matilda book.
Oh, wow.
Just this last fall. So it'll be a great time.
I think we'll be hearing them tomorrow
evening.
Tomorrow
evening and or one other time during the week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the inevitable put-in of the orchestra during Tech Week. That's when it's, you know, when the orchestra's there and you start to get the fuller... And now, granted, a four-person pit is not going to overwhelm you with a wall of sound, but to have the fuller sound there is always a magical moment.
Yeah.
Have you done a sitz probe at all, or...?
Nope.
No.
No. Okay. No, it'll be nice when that component gets added in. I think it kind of gives everybody that boost, you know, to hear the full band of what they're going to sound like.
Mm. Right. Yeah, the bells in the percussion part alone.
Oh, so it's the percussion is then really...
Yeah, he's going to be pulling all kinds of tricks. It'll be, you know, it'll be perfect.
Yeah, a surprise for all.
So, a surprise every night, just like the show itself.
You can't go wrong. You know, it's for, and that's the thing that sometimes audiences don't even realize they need to be appreciating, that for all the greatness that happens on stage, and it's almost always great, the behind-the-scenes stuff or the people in the pit that are dedicating their time and their talents, they add so much that without them, it would just fall completely flat on its face. So
I think us actors have the easy part.
Sometimes.
I mean, without lights, you're not going to see us. Without music, you're not going to hear us. So I think that's more important sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you go to see a show, make sure you stay to the end of the outro or the finale or whatever music comes at the end of it. And appreciate all the things that went into it, the lights, the costuming, the sets. And we're going to talk about all that, of course, a little bit later on. But it is a Herculean task, and you have to recognize everybody that's involved with it. And what we're talking about this morning is Nutcrackers, which is opening next weekend at the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. It's running December 2nd through December 17th. You can go to LandmarkCommunityTheater.org for tickets and information, or stay tuned, because in just a bit I will be giving away a pair of tickets to any one performance that you want to attend. But again, that's not happening till a little bit later on. In the meantime, let's have another song from Nutcrackers, the original cast album, or the world premiere cast album, I should say. This one's called Santa's Little Teapot. Care to give us any context for Santa's Little Teapot?
Well, this is the first number that the talent contest the school kids have put together.
Okay,
And it's sort of the precursor to setting up for the Nutcracker Ballet, which is later on.
Ooh, so
You know,
by the children's chorus.
Yeah, the children's chorus. You know, so there's some great costume elements and some light choreography to kind of get you warmed up for the Nutcracker, which is coming later in the show.
Yes.
All right, very exciting. So here it is from the world premiere cast album, Santa's Little Teapot.
I'm Santa's little teapot, as cute as I can be. My handle's on my shoulder, my spout is on my knee. When I start to whistle, you'd better answer me, 'cause I'm telling you I'm ready and it's time for tea. I'm Santa's little teapot, as cute as I can be. My handle's on my shoulder, my spout is on my knee. To myself, and Santa sends an elf who fills me up and lights a fire.
that was Santa's Little Teapot from the world premiere cast recording of Nutcrackers here on Backstage on WZBG, which is our featured show this morning. I'm joined by music director TJ Thompson and cast member Stephanie Varinelli-Miles. It's just about 9:30, so believe it or not, time is just flying by. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pause for a quick word, and then we'll come back with What's the Buzz. And then after What's the Buzz, I will be giving away tickets to go see Nutcrackers. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But first, this quick word.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
All right, let's talk about theater, shall we? First up, performances. Goshen Players are opening their production of All Is Calm Tonight. That's running November 25th through December 10th, and tickets are extremely limited. Check out goshenplayers.org for tickets and info. As we're talking about this morning, Landmark Community Theater is putting on their production of Nutcrackers, opening December 2nd, running through December 17th. Go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for information or to purchase tickets. The Phoenix Stage Company will be opening their production of the Farndale Avenue Christmas Carol on December 2nd. That's going to run through December 16th. So if you're interested in that, go to phoenixstagecompany.org. And TheaterWorks New Milford has announced their production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That's going to run December 8th through December 31st. That's right, a special New Year's Eve performance. Go to theaterworks.us for more on that. And one audition to mention, the Goshen Players have announced auditions for their production of the classic Arsenic and Old Lace. Those will be December 4th and 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Old Town Hall in Goshen. For more information, you can go to goshenplayers.org. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for another quick word from a sponsor, and then we will be back, and I will be giving away some tickets.
The Western Front, Christmas 1914. Out of the violence, a silence, then a song.
A German soldier steps into no man's land singing Stille Nacht. Thus begins an extraordinary night of camaraderie, music, peace.
A remarkable true story, told in the words and songs of the men who lived it.
Goshen Players is proud to present All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914, on stage at Goshen's Old Town Hall, November 25th to December 10th. All tickets are just $25 and can be reserved at goshenplayers.org.
All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914 is a beautiful musical recounting of a World War I ceasefire of gifts, poetry, and melody.
Tickets are going fast, so be sure to reserve yours today at goshenplayers.org. That's goshenplayers.org.
In the middle of the war, we had ourselves a Merry Christmas.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG, and you know what? It's the holiday season. Yesterday was Black Friday. I'm in a giving mood. It's giveaway time. So I have a pair of tickets good for any performance of Nutcrackers, which is the Nonsense Christmas musical. It's running December 2nd through December 17th. So you can go to any performance you want. It's over at the Thomaston Opera House, presented by our friends at Landmark Community Theater. As long as you haven't won anything in the last 30 days, you are eligible to win. All you got to do is call into the station, 860-567-3697. That's 860-567-FM97. I'm going to pick a random caller to win those tickets. And in the meantime, I've got another song for you from the world premiere cast recording. This is It's Better to Give.
There's a lesson here for all of us.
Though it's been said before, at times like this, we need to be reminded once more. Though it's nice to be remembered with a gift or or two, there's something more rewarding that can mean much more to you. It's better to give than it is to receive, for in giving you get back much more. That's what we believe. It's better to give, no matter large or small, for the gift you get from giving will make you 10 feet tall. Let's say the flu's upon us and it's time to get your shot. Who'd you rather be, the giver or the gut? When that doorbell rings and the doctor pays a call, once you see that needle, you'll know once and for all. It's better to give than it is to receive, for in giving you get back much more. That's what we believe. It's better to give, no matter large or small, for the gift you get from giving will make you 10 feet tall.
It'll make you tall.
If you're the team's receiver, you can make the winning play.
That's simply the exception that proves the rule, you see.
And the rule you should remember is that giving is the key. It's better to give than it is to receive, for in giving you get back much more. That's what we believe. It's better to give, no matter large or small, for the gift you get.
Now, good people, I want you to put your hands together just
it'll
like this. Sounds
talk.
Good, sounds real
it'll
good. And if you're really feeling good
it'll
out there, I want you to say it'll this with me. Hallelujah.
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 Yeah.
That was It's Better to Give from the world premiere cast recording of Nuncrackers here on Backstage on WZBG. And congratulations going out to Tom in Goshen. He was our winner of that pair of tickets to go see Nuncrackers at the Thomason Opera House, opening December 2nd, running through December 17th. We did get many calls, and if you didn't win, I do apologize. I'd love to give away more tickets, but the theaters do have to sell them as well. You know, they have to keep the lights on somehow. So if you didn't win, go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org. You can buy your tickets there, call their box office, and get your tickets that way, however you want to do it. But don't miss out. It's going to be a great show. Speaking of great shows, this is a great show this morning. I'm joined by music director TJ Thompson and cast member Stephanie Veronelli-Miles from the production of Nuncrackers over at the Thomaston Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. And does it feel good when you see the phones light up and you see that people are already excited about coming
to see
the show?
Yeah, like it happened immediately. That was awesome. Yeah.
So hopefully that means that tickets are going to sell well for you. I kind of want to reiterate to folks that it's a great family-friendly show. You know, it's got jokes for kind of all ages. Mm-hmm. There's nothing objectionable.
No, not at all.
No salacious content or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And it's very holiday appropriate. So, you know, and Stephanie, you were saying off the air that you were talking with some of the people in the cast, and not all of them have that sort of Catholic school experience or upbringing, but they still are relating to it.
Yeah, I mean, not that I was prying for information, but just, you know, getting to know your cast members and, you know, trying to have like a cohesive, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Common denominator of us putting on the show together. I kind of found out along the way that not all of them were, but appreciate, you know, the Christmas element to it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think it's for everyone, really.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the sort of stereotypical view of the Catholic school experience, it's just a more rigorous, more rigid structure than, you know, so people can kind of plug into it without too much difficulty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's changed over the years for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we're not sure if it's the really old, like our parents' Catholic school experience or our own.
Well, I think that's the point. I think every person takes their own experience out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My mother has stories about Catholic school and the nuns.
Oh, yeah.
She was left-handed, and that was
a big no-no.
No. Yeah. Wrapped on the knuckles with a ruler.
The ruler.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was allowed to be left-handed.
You were allowed to be left-handed?
Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
We had a liberal Catholic
apparently
school,
yeah. Good grief. And you know, my experience in Catholic school was a little different, not as strict as that, but definitely stricter than my friends in the public schools.
Oh,
and
for sure.
And even now, you know, you look at Catholic schools now and how they are and the changes that they've gone through, and so I think, you know, anybody can relate to it from any era.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think the nuns as characters just help to cross some of that gap that people might have, because everybody knows a strict person, everybody knows a tough person, mm-hmm. everybody knows a forgetful person.
Yes.
And
good point.
And there's that universality to it there. What's your favorite part of the show, would you say? Just throwing that one at you from out of left field.
Yeah, let me think.
That's actually a good question.
Because I have to imagine there's a lot of light moments and funny moments, probably also some heartwarming and more tender moments. So what speaks to you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I were to talk about my character, and for me is, it's when she shares with the audience that, you know, her dad did leave for a brief point of time. Mm-hmm. She sings a song called Jesus Was Born in Brooklyn, and it's a really nice scene. The choreographer, Shelby, has made a nice picture that's happening during that song. The father ends up coming back, excuse me, but it's a really nice moment for me and for the rest of the cast who are in it, in my opinion.
I'm kidding. But yeah, that is definitely one of the most heartwarming scenes.
Sure.
In the show. And then there's just the sort of different every night, different every show, the Christmas giveaway with Amnesia, that's always
that'll change. Yeah, I think that will change day to day.
Yeah, that's going to be different every show. Mm-hmm. So that's always exciting and fun. The the puppet making its appearance.
Yep.
12 days prior to Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of there's, and then there's, you know, Sister Julia, Child of God.
Yes. That, you have that, to always make the sign of the cross when you speak of her name. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
And different every time. Yep. I'm sure.
Oh so, yes.
So there's those honest moments where you really just have to, you know, let it happen. That's fun. But there's definitely a lot of really heartwarming moments.
Sure. Too. And that's theater magic too. The fact that unlike a movie, a theater production is different every time it's done. Mm-hmm. So if you go to see it on Friday and then you go back to see it again on Saturday, it's not it's the same show, but it's not the same show.
Right.
The way the audience responds, the things that they plug into, exactly, the energy levels, it's always changing. So you can never go wrong with seeing any theatrical production because it's a one-of-a-kind experience. Mm-hmm. And you get...
The beauty of live theater.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you get eight chances to see Nutcrackers. It opens December 2nd, runs through the 17th over at the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. And it's 9:45, so why don't we do this? We'll play another song. We'll come back and we'll talk the weather, and then we can start to tie it all up in a little bow and make it a nice little present for the holidays.
Sounds great.
TJ, I think you mentioned this song, and so that's why it kind of popped into my head. 12 days prior to Christmas.
Correct.
Is this like a spoof on the 12 days of Christmas, or?
You start thinking that, and then it goes in a lot of different directions.
Okay.
Very, very different, yes. But when you hear 12 days,
right,
you immediately start to think of that song.
Yes.
And...
not quite what you expect.
And it's definitely not that song.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's Nutcrackers and Nonsense kind of in a nutshell right there. So.
Basically, yes.
So here it is from the world premiere cast recording. This is 12 days prior to Christmas.
Do you know why there's an angel on top of the Christmas tree? Well, whether you do or whether you don't, I'm here to tell you the story. You see, it all happened 12 days prior to Christmas many years ago. 12 days prior to Christmas, Santa came down with the flu. A northern blizzard closed the road and the doctor couldn't get through. With only 11 days left to go, there were hardly any toys. The elves were trying on gay apparel for Christmas with the boys.
Christmas with the boys.
10 days prior to Christmas, Rudolph's red nose turned blue. He was depressed from the reindeer's teasing in 1952. 9 days before the deadline date when the sleigh was set to fly, two of the helpers got into a drag race crashing from the sky.
Crashing from the sky. The fa-la-la-la became beep-by-bow. T'was ba-ha-lung, not ho-ho-ho. It looked as though Christmas would come and go without jingle bells or a dash through the snow.
On days 8 and 7, they drowned their sorrows by drinking some Christmas cheer. On the 6th day, 10 of the helpers passed out. There were 4 on the chandelier. 5 days prior to Christmas, it was time for the tree trimming phase. But the angel Santa sent for the spruce hadn't been seen in days.
Hadn't been seen in days.
Well, the bottom line was, the broad had disappeared. With only 4 and a half days left, Santa was more than concerned. Poor Mrs. Claus had forgotten the oven and all the cookies had burned. It was 3 days prior to Christmas and Santa was fit to be tied. After 3 martinis and 2 gin fizz, the Santa was totally fried.
Santa was totally fried. The fa-la-la-la became beep-by-bo. T'was ba-ha-mug, not ho-ho-ho. It looked as though Christmas would come and go without jingle bells or a dash through the snow.
Strike, refusing to sing on holidays and demanding a salary hike. With 1 day left, it seemed but certain that life couldn't get any worse. When suddenly the angel appeared, uttering this curse. Where do you want this tree? Were the words that came to pass. Santa replied with a ho, 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 you can stick it up your...
Hey, put out the light!
The light's
what?
I can't see
anything!
Oh,
goodness.
There you go. That was 12 days prior to Christmas. I think colorful is a good way to describe
that. Oh, yeah, that's an excellent word, for sure.
And we were talking off the air. I'm mm-hmm. here with TJ Thompson and Stephanie Varinelli-Miles. We're talking off the air. That's about as risque as it gets. You run right up to the edge, and then you stop.
That's it.
Yes. But it is 9:49, so it's probably a good time to talk about the weather. So I don't know how you two divide it up. That's up to you. You drew the short straw, so you get to tackle it.
All right. Well, you want me to start? Yeah. Okay. Today is November 25th, 2023, mm-hmm. and meteorologist Steve says, today mainly sunny and chilly, brisk in the morning. Winds northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour, highs in the upper 30s. Sunset time 4:23 p.m., normal high of 48, record high of 71 set in 1979. Tonight, a few clouds, dry and cold, lows 21 to 27, winds southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Oh, and then Sunday, which is tomorrow. Sunshine mixing with late day clouds, temperatures at normal levels, high mid-40s. Sunday night, turning cloudy with rain developing, lows in the mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. Monday, rain clears out in the morning, followed by a partly sunny afternoon. Highs are in the upper 40s, but falling in the afternoon. Tuesday and Wednesday, chilly again, with mainly sunny skies, highs 35 to 40. And finally on Thursday, mostly sunny and less cold, highs low 40s.
There you go.
Right now it's 21 degrees in Litchfield.
Oh, that's our...
No, it's not. I'm just kidding.
It's creeping up towards 30 right about now at our WZBG studios here in Litchfield. And it feels like we kind of... Fall was a record pace, and then all of a sudden here we are in winter.
Here we
almost.
Are, yep. It came quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year was pretty mild, so I don't know if that means anything for this year.
Well, hopefully the next three weekends for the show will, you know, not see as much.
Knock on wood,
Yeah, but we do, Connecticut, we're no strangers to snow. We handle it pretty well.
Absolutely.
So it's unusual for the snow to really wreck those kinds of plans. And if you want to enjoy yourself and experience something fun and be warm, a theater's a great place to go, you know?
For sure.
Yes.
They got all the lights, they got the heat, they got all the fun.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go to, like, the Thomason Opera House and check out Nutcrackers?
Yes, right, why not?
Right.
You know, December 2nd through the 17th. go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. And, we've talked about a lot of different aspects of the show. We haven't mentioned who's directing this. Who's in charge of this chaos that is Nutcrackers?
Well...
The one and only.
Yes. Jeff Dunn.
Jeff Dunn.
Really?
Yes.
Executive director of the Landmark Community Theater Group.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well. Our choreographer, Shelby Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Very lovely to work with as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
We have a good team.
Yeah.
Good team.
That's good.
So what's Jeff like as a director? Because I know him as the head of Landmark and whatnot. He's usually the guy in front of the curtain before every show talking about what's going on. So how is he as a director? Is he very vision-focused and he knows what he wants? Or is it more like, this is kind of what I'm going for, see what you come up with?
Yeah, I think he's so knowledgeable as far as theater's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think he definitely had some ideas in mind, but I think he's really left it up to us to develop a character. He's given us time to do so.
Nice.
Probably in the last week or 10 days, he's been giving us maybe a little bit more than he has, which is great because he's allowed us to develop our own person.
Sure.
So I appreciate that as a director for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So both. You know, but it's a good mix.
Yeah, absolutely.
And TJ, have you worked with Jeff as a director before? I know you've done things at the Opera House. And
yeah,
so
no, this is the first time, and I think this might be Jeff's first musical director.
But, I didn't know that.
Wow.
I could be completely wrong, but I think I heard him say that. Yeah. And it's been great. You know, he's, like I said, he knows what to... It's been a pretty clear agenda in terms of, you know, how we put the show together. And
he wears a lot of hats, obviously, in the theater.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, he's had to kind of you know, move around his time, but he's been present. No, he's been really good.
Oh, that's amazing. And then you said Shelby Griffin is the choreographer.
Yes.
Choreography at Landmark for a little while now. And is Nutcracker's a heavy choreography show, or is it a lot of just like stylized movement?
All of the above.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It could be more stylized movement. I think that she has found our strengths and worked with that. We all had to learn to sing and dance, you know, at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it embellishes every song
of
her touch.
Sure.
For sure.
And now, Stephanie, you're a very accomplished dancer choreographer in your own right. Is it tough sometimes to take that hat off and just be the performer again?
I think when I was younger, it might have been. But now that I'm a little older, I kind of, you know, am giving that person their vision. I've done my best to try to, like, let them see their vision. I wouldn't say difficult. There are certain things that I, you know, probably would see differently, which is fine because we all have our own, you know, vision and stuff. But I think I've been okay with it. Yeah. It's odd because I choreographed her in Rocky Horror, and now she's choreographing me in this. So we kind of changed hats a little bit, which is kind of fun. So.
But, you know, and that's another aspect of community theater, that one day you're a choreographer, the next day you're a performer, the next day you're a costume.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Who knows what you're going to be tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's right. But I, you know, from personal experience, I know that going from having been directing at the high school where I taught or teach, having directed, that's the past tense one, stepping into performing again, I caught myself a few times where I was about to, you know, but I know with dancing, because so many people start so young and it's so drilled into them and so ingrained.
Well, musical theater dancing, I think, is different than, you know, your regular, you know, dancing or competition dancing, you know, you know, musical theater movement is different. So, you know.
Yeah. But still fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can experience that dancing, that stylized movement, all of the above, along with Jeff Dunn's great direction, TJ Thompson's fabulous orchestra and music direction, at Nutcrackers, which is running at the Thomaston Opera House from December 2nd through December 17th. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. And we're almost out of time. So I want to thank you both for coming in, to have you both on the show for the first time with me, or in TJ's case, the first time ever.
Thanks so much for having us.
I hope it was a good experience.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, always a thrill. I hope that the run of the show goes tremendously well. I don't know if I'll be able to catch it because I'm in a production, you know, and so many things run against each other, unfortunately.
And it's Christmas time.
And it's the holiday season and whatnot, but I'll see what I can do about getting over there. That shouldn't stop the audience, the listeners, you out there, from making sure you check it out. It's a perfect little holiday show to check out, Nutcrackers. Don't miss it. And just a quick heads up, next weekend I will have guests from Phoenix Stage Company and their production of the Farndale Avenue Christmas Carol. I can't even read the full title on the air. It would take up the entire show. But make sure you stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a little bit more from the world premiere cast recording of Nutcrackers. This is a song we talked about before, Stephanie. It's one of your songs. This is Jesus Was Born in Brooklyn. Have a great week, everybody.
Have been a happy time, for I was asked that year. place the baby in the crib on that midnight clear. But back at home, Mom was struggling just to make ends meet. See, Dad walked out the year before, so the night was bittersweet.
WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington, Litchfield County's favorite.